so long to come to me, oh baby. And love, love, your love, tell me were you hiding from me all the time. Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do.
This is The Spec, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Hey, everybody, just starting the intro a little bit early today. Thank you so much for tuning in. The guest on the show today, Katie Spiropoulos, is going to be joining us on the show. I'm really excited to have her on, but she's running just a couple minutes late, so I'm just going to play a little music from now until then, and just sit tight, and we'll get this train rolling as soon as we can. Thanks, everyone.
And that's no lie, cause my heart and honey I hope to die. Cause I'm not trying to mislead you. Believe me, girl, I really need you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space. All I saw was your sweet face. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space.
That was Broke Down, parts 1 and 2 by the California Honey Drops. And everyone, I am so excited to be joined by Katie Spiropoulos on the show today. Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for hopping on. For those that don't know, and none of you know, this was a very last second switch to bring Katie on. I always wanted to bring Katie onto the show for the few weeks that I've known you. And I'm really happy that Katie could come on last second and we can have a blast on the show today. So one thing I always ask the guests on the show whenever they come on is, where are you from? What was your upbringing like and how that all shook out? So Katie, you're from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That's right.
I am.
How was that growing up there? What am I missing out on not going to Oklahoma City? Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh my God, so much. So it's a pretty random place, especially out here, but Oklahoma City is so much fun. We have the OKC Thunder, which, better than the New York Knicks, some might say, pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's a fun place. We have a really great rowing facility, lots of different things, lots of cows, you know.
Yeah.
That part's true, I hate to say it. I did not ride a horse to school, as some may have thought.
Dang, you know, I was banking on thinking you were riding horses just everywhere all the time. What's going on?
I wish, I really do. But yeah, it's really fun. Very different than here. Definitely don't miss the wind and the tornadoes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Did you ever run into any actual, it sounds like it, some actual tornado incidents?
All the time.
Yeah.
There was actually one last night. in Oklahoma hit my house. Got some water damage. Yeah.
What is like the layout of your house like? Would you, because you have to like go down into like a cellar or a basement when that happens, right? Yeah, it's a whole other thing over there. What is it like in Oklahoma City? Is there like kind of like a downtown area that you go to a lot? Where'd you live kind of relative to where everything was?
Yeah, so it's actually a city of 1.5 million people, so pretty big. Mm-hmm. I live towards the downtown area because both my parents work there.
Nice.
So like, okay, we're very famous for our one skyscraper. We have one, and it's so amazing. Everything else, about four flights maybe.
Fair enough. Well, I hope to visit one day here. But what was the transition like when you first came to Tufts? You're a first year, so still relatively new to the area. Had you ever been to Boston before?
I had visited Tufts once back in 2019, pre-COVID. But other than that, no. So like very, very, very big transition. But it's so fun. Everyone here is like so welcoming and nice. The one thing though I'll never get used to is so freaking humid here.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that was a thing about Boston.
No, I know. I was like nagging about the cold weather for the longest time, but now that it's actually getting hot out, I remember each time I'm reminded that, oh yeah, it gets really humid here when it gets warm. And there was a stretch last week where it was just like awful. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
That's a story for another time.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I'm glad. It seems like you really like it here and you're super involved in a lot of things at the school. I want to get into, Katie brought on a couple songs for everyone to listen to today. Let's start with Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. Why'd you bring on this song?
I absolutely adore this song. I'm a huge Fleetwood Mac fan. I love them so much. I have all their albums in my room here. Everywhere, I think, is one of those songs that it's just like, it's every single second of it is perfect. Like, there's not a single thing I'd change. From the, you know, dazzling intro to the different layout beats that they have layered on top of each other. I also think it's like a very not Fleetwood Mac song, if that makes sense. Like, it's so different from their other vibes, even off of the same album. It's been one of my favorite songs for a while, and I listen to it every day.
I'm super excited to play this. I've never played this song on the show before, and I love it too. So Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. Here we go.
I wanna be with you.
That was Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. Oh, I just love that song. It sounds so good in here, too. That's something that y'all at home or wherever you're listening don't get the full effect of, is there's this big studio here and just the speakers in here play the music so epically. But anyway, enough about that. Katie, something I always ask my guests on the show, another question I really like to ask, is super open-ended, and bear with me as I ask it, but what are you passionate about? That can be related to like what you're studying, your aspirations for how you want to contribute in the world. I just like to see where this goes. So I don't know if you have an answer to that, but go ahead.
I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but I can
say
something.
Who cares?
I would say what I'm most passionate about is communication and connection. And I think that manifests itself in very different ways. So I'm an IR major, so obviously like very interested in branching that out on a governmental level, whether or not that's creating new laws or development or whatever. But yeah, I think a lot of things that get lost in our world now in social media, and just especially post-pandemic, is people don't talk to each other anymore.
Seriously. Yeah.
They like, you know, they just skip to the next step, or they're rude or they're curt, and they just don't care about having a conversation and understanding where people are coming from. And so I think something that I'm really passionate about is trying to like harken back to simply sitting down and talking to one another.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, in the UN or on a main stage like that, where these are life and death decisions, or even just like here at school, like if you get in a disagreement with someone, just talk to them. Yeah. I mean, half the time I think you're going to figure out whatever is going on there. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, people are really not able to talk to each other, it seems, especially like you can get to the political side of it and like Congress, and nobody can get anything done. But yeah, even on just like a basic level, that totally makes sense. And you're involved, and I just remember this too, you're involved in Model United Nations at Tufts as well. That's a lot of negotiating and discussing there. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Model UN is single-handedly the best and weirdest experiences I have ever had. Just like being in rooms with other individuals, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's an amazing time to actually talk about issues that a lot of people won't listen to a 19-year-old talk about.
Like, yeah.
I was in a committee discussing environmental issues, basically.
Right.
And like, I swear, obviously we didn't get anywhere close to solving climate change. But I mean, I wish that our leaders were having those conversations and actually addressing the problem versus just, you know, ignoring what is out there. It's a really great opportunity to meet people who care about the same things that you do. And, you know, you talked a lot about passion. I mean, there's so much to discuss when it comes to world issues. And a lot of the times they're things that people are either too afraid of or don't know enough about. But Model UN is a safe space for us to just experiment.
You know, that's one of the things I really was drawn to about Tufts, and I bet you probably were as well. It feels like there's a lot of groups on campus, not just with Model UN, but like a lot of other ones too, where there is that fostering of discussion and people just like talking for not just for talking's sake, but also like trying to get like chip away at some of these big world issues that are plaguing everybody these days. And that's really cool. And I feel like you and the people involved in these groups are the ones that are actually going to be making a difference in the end. That's great. All right. Before we talk about other stuff, I want to make sure to get through your songs here. Ghost in the Machine, SZA, Phoebe Bridgers. You're excited about this one. Let's talk about.
I love this song. Actually, okay, this is a really funny story. It's not really funny. It's funny to me. But I absolutely hated this song when it first came out. Loved all of the SOS album except for this song. I know.
That album's perfect. I could have like a whole show about that album. I mean, anyway.
Oh my God, I've listened to it 12 times all the way through.
So good.
But yeah, I listened to this song and I was like, SZA and Phoebe don't work together. Like, they're two separate songs and they just mash them together. And then I like started listening to it again, I don't know, like 2-3 weeks later, and I just became obsessed. And now it's like, it's gotten into my top 5 favorite songs of all time that I just listen to when I need to feel better.
All right, let's feel this. Let's have a great time. Yeah. Ghost in the Machine, SZA, Phoebe Bridgers. Here we go.
This is gonna sound good.
Conversation is so boring. Cut about what? I hate her. I don't agree. I did it first. I give a f- I just want f- East. sleep, love, happy. Can you make me happy? Can you keep me happy? Can you distract me from all the disaster? Can you touch on me and knock on me after? Can you hate on me and mask it with laughter? Can you lead me to the act? What's the password? I need you. All that God like you forget how to love somebody. I ain't everybody, I ain't everyone. Let's talk about AI. Robot got more heart than I. Robot got future, I don't. Robot get sleep and I don't. Power down, I'm wide open, no more wake. I'm on autopilot, I'm out of my mind. And I'm wide open, can you distract me from all the disaster? Can you touch on me and knock on me after?
That was Ghost in the Machine by SZA and Phoebe Bridgers. And you know, you really wouldn't think it would work, but it just did. And it sounded so good on these speakers here. And I hope everybody else enjoyed it too. And everybody, it's that time of the show. It's everyone's favorite time. It's PSA time. And as always on the show, when I have guests, I let the guests read the PSA. Katie, what's the PSA today?
Food, not bombs. PSA.
Yeah.
Food Not Bombs is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan and or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment.
Mm.
Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege.
Wow.
Wow. For more information, visit foodnotbombs.net.
That was riveting. Thank you so much. Food Not Bombs, everybody. Not bombs. What a PSA we got today. So, this is, I feel like we've been itching to talk about this, and this is the reason why I know Katie in the first place. It's theater. It's theater at Tufts, everyone. And for those that don't know, we just got out of an insane process of being in Little Women, the musical. For those that don't know, Little Women is a story written by Louisa May Alcott. It's a book. It's based on little family in Concord, Massachusetts, right after the Civil War. And I'd never heard of it as a musical before this, and I had no idea that it could work, but it did.
Like Ghost of the Machine, one might say.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God, that was perfect. So Katie, tell me a little bit about your experience with the show, because you also came in, and we'll talk about theater past, theater present, and theater future with the three different shows you've been involved in the past month. But let's start with the present with Little Women. What was that like for you?
Little Women was an incredible experience. Honestly, it's one of my most favorite shows that I've ever done.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, all the people, like Sam,
Yay.
Were just wonderful and kind, and our staff. And we'll get to the past, but coming in at a slightly different point
yes.
than other people, I really appreciated everyone's like kindness and yeah. understanding. And I'm honestly just so insanely proud of what we created. Like, we did that thing.
We really did that thing. Yeah. It took 3 weeks to put the whole thing together. We were in a bit of a crunch because we were supposed to get the rights earlier. There was a bunch of complicated stuff going on behind the scenes, but we're not going to talk about that. And I really didn't think it was going to happen. But
nope.
then it somehow did, and it was all kind of falling together. I had no idea where it was going, and we had a space that wasn't optimal, let's say. There was also a random 3-day heat wave right during the show when it was 90 degrees every day, and Katie can attest to this. I almost had a heat stroke because I was in a wool coat. I was playing an old grandpa, and I had to wear this big wool coat, and I thought I was going to die. Those first two nights, but we persevered. The whole cast, like Katie said, fantastic. And what was like one of your favorite, if you could pick like one moment, and I know there's like tons you could choose from, what's one moment from this entire process that's kind of stuck with you as like, man, that really just encapsulates the whole thing? A song, a interaction, anything?
Oh, that's a really hard question.
Sorry.
No, it's good. I would have to say, if I had to pick one moment, it would be right after we finished the first show. I remember we all just like took a second standing in our little hallway waiting to re-enter. And we're like, holy crap. Like, we just played in front of a basically sold out audience. They love it. Like, not only did we manage to put up a show, we did a great show.
Yeah.
And that was just... It was such like a happy moment for all of us of like standing there and we're like, look what we did.
I know. It was especially beautiful, I think, because none of us thought it was going to be what it was, if we're being frank. I mean, not many full shows are put together in 3 weeks successfully, if at all. So it was great. And on it, like genuinely, like every song was so cute and so fun. And the cast is just so talented. We're all like really close. I think we're going to go watch the movie of Little Women later. It's just like fantastic. It's kind of unbelievable how quickly it all came together. And you know what else is unbelievable, Katie? That you had just been in a show right before that. You were in Julius Caesar. What was that like? Being in Julius Caesar, I saw it. It was amazing. I loved everybody. That cast was really talented too, and the set was really cool. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm a broken record, but that was also an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Incredibly different from Little Women. Everyone in that show was just like so invested and took a lot of care and time with their characters. I would say people love to say the worst thing about Julius Caesar was that it was Shakespeare, like it had to do with us, and I think that's funny. I am a Shakespeare fiend. That's
nice.
A weird sentence, but I love Shakespeare.
Me too.
It's so good. So like, it was just a really great privilege to get to work on a piece like that, and our staff and the cast and everyone was just so kind and nice and fun and silly. Like, I'd never worked, I realized, in my theater time with a primarily male cast.
Yeah.
Which was really fun and funny. Like, in theater in my high school, we had the traditional, like, women played men all the time.
Right.
So we had a weird imbalance. So, like, to get to, honestly, in both Little Women and now, like, to get to, like, experiment, actually have, like, diversity and exciting moments of different people was really fun.
Yeah, and the two spaces that, like, if you compare Little Women and Julius Caesar, completely different space, so many different things, but particularly the spaces that they were in. Julius Caesar was in a theater in the Round. It's in the Bolcherina Theater, and just the layout. When you work in a theater in the round, it's a whole different ball game. What was that? Had you ever worked in a theater like that before? And what was it like kind of coordinating all the scenes when you were like up along the ridges of the balcony or like down low? And walk me through what that was like for you putting that together in Tech Week.
So I got lucky. I had worked last semester on a show called Startling by Matt.
Yeah, that was good too. Yeah. Oh my God, there's so much we could talk about.
Oh, thank you. And so we were in the round in the thrust, meaning like one of the sections was taken out for that as well. So I was really lucky. I had that advantage knowing how to work in the space. But Julius Caesar, one thing that we really struggled, or at least I struggled with, was finding ways to stay so that every part of the audience could see you at one point or another. Yeah. So working a lot with like diagonals is really helpful in a space like that rather than standing like flat.
Yeah.
Also the working with a concourse in the balconies, like you mentioned, whole new thing. Like that is the amount of times I had to run in Julius Caesar, like run upstairs. And like, for context, everyone listening, I am not a very good runner. Like, it's not my thing. I tend to fall. Like,
oh, me too.
Yeah. So that was like very interesting to just kind of incorporate a lot of physical movement in terms of getting from place to place, where like most of the time you're just like walking two steps.
It was great. And also just like with Shakespeare, the memorization, I feel like it's just so difficult. And how was like working in scene with the cast? And because you guys were really on the money every time. There's so many, like, Shakespeare likes to throw in all these little like quirky moments between characters, and then these like long like soliloquies, and there's so much pacing wise that goes on with Shakespeare. What was that like for you, kind of keeping up with the dialogue of the show and everything like that?
Yeah, so I think we were really lucky. Our directors, Abby and Caitlin, took a lot of time with us and allowed us to do a lot of table work and like work individual lines. So we would basically translate it into plain English so that we had the understanding first, and then put it back into understanding the cadence and the rhythm and everything.
Yeah.
For me, memorizing was really just going to rehearsal and like once we blocked a scene, trying to get it off book so that it flowed. Unlike Little Women, we had plenty of time.
Oh yes.
So, in terms of people who had like the pages and pages of monologues, I am forever amazed by them. Yeah. I did not have to do that and was very lucky. But I think we did like 3 line throughs, which basically like you just go through and be like popcorn line it. And that was very helpful to just kind of finding a rhythm. And also, I think just kind of moving and understanding that the words are there for a reason.
Yeah.
Like Shakespeare, like you said, is very intentional with his moments that he creates. And so once you like get it up on its feet, it's really nice to discover those as you're acting instead of just trying to like get lost in the jumble of words.
That totally makes sense. And like the fact that you like did that and then like did a completely different show like within the span of literally 2 weeks for you is pretty incredible. And you're fantastic. Katie played Marmee, who's the mother of the girls in the show, and she was really, really great. And it was fantastic. Congratulations. And now, of course, because you're back for more.
Wait,
what are you?
I'm the wardrobe supervisor.
Wardrobe supervisor. Okay, thank you. On the production of Falsettos, which is going to be performed in Cohen Auditorium tonight, opening night. You're going there right after this, right?
I am.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So what has that been like on top of everything else?
Oh, my God. That has been, like, the most jarring thing ever. Very fun, very different. Working with a great team. The costume designer, Max, worked with him before. He's fantastic.
Cool.
It's so weird doing costumes being an actor.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh my God, why am I not acting? I like constantly want to like follow the cast around and be like, oh yeah, that's not what you're doing. But it's really nice, like low-key understanding a new side of theater. It gives you a lot of appreciation for the whole process. I've realized now, like, they have a really hard job, all the different people. And so would I do this again of going through 3 shows? Absolutely not.
Okay, like, nice.
Mental health in the gutter.
Yep.
But it's fun. And yeah, there's a lot of great people at Tufts in general and in the theater community who have been really supportive and fun. And honestly, like, if Little Women hadn't been such an amazing experience, I don't know if I could be doing falsettos right now. But I am, and I'm working with amazing people. And we're just, as Max says, costumes, we're doing our thing.
Nice.
It's a fun time.
And so it doesn't sound like it's too hard to, like, the costume pieces are all, as the wardrobe supervisor, they're laid out for you already. You didn't have the job of, like, were you the one finding the pieces? Or is that a different job?
Yeah, so Max put all the designs together.
Gotcha.
And the outfits. I helped him a little bit in, like, picking certain things, but those are all his designs, his color schemes, cool, everything. I have the job of managing everything once the designs are set.
Yeah.
So, like, if an outfit doesn't work changing-wise, we switch it. We do. So we had, like, oh my god, I think we had, like, 12 costume change, like, as in physical pieces taken out of the show and replaced with other things during tech, which was, like, really jarring for me. Because, like, I don't even know, I'm a very type A personality, if you can tell. So, like, I like my pieces in place.
Fair enough.
But it's fun. I get to work with the actors really closely. And, like, learn a lot about it's. So the way that is fun to describe is the designer is kind of like the director of the costumes, and then the wardrobe supervisor is the stage manager.
Cool.
So they're in charge of keeping track of everything.
Gotcha. Wow. I just, like, I cannot believe how you're, like, doing all these things at the same time. I'm, like, overwhelmed and so happy for you. Congratulations on it all.
Thank you, one
giant congratulations. And it's great to see everything that you're doing. Okay, more songs.
Yeah,
Drive It Like You Stole It.
Oh,
Sing Street. Tell me about it.
I love this song. It is the best song ever. It is my happy song, my hype song, my sad song. I love this song. It's the most random thing ever. It's from this movie called Sing Street, which is about an Irish pop band. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I love that movie. I heard it for the first time when I was about 7 years old, and then I, like, forgot about it for a solid 10, 12 years. And then I rediscovered it, and now, for example, I love to tell the story. If I'm walking down Boston Ave, anywhere down Boston Ave, I will be listening to that song.
Gotcha.
Because I feel like I'm in a John Hughes 80s movie listening to it. I'm just, like, I'm walking, vibing with my headphones on. It's the best song, and I can't wait for you all to hear it.
Let's vibe. Drive It Like You Stole It by Sing Street. Here we go.
Just can't stand the way that I walked out.
That was Drive It Like You Stole It, Sing Street, and it was groovy. It was a vibe. I felt like I was walking down the street with sunglasses on.
That's what I'm saying.
It was a great time. We got a little more time left, everybody. I definitely wanted to make sure we talked about the Tufts Daily, because that is something we both have in common as well. Tell me a little bit about what you do for the Tufts Daily and what that experience is like.
Yeah, so I currently am a news editor in the news section, and I write for them. And then I also am a staff writer for sports, so do some regular pieces there. I've covered a lot of different things this semester. I most recently for sports, I've been covering the women's lacrosse team, which has been super fun because I don't know how lacrosse works, but they're really good at it, so it's really fun to watch. And then news, oh my god, I've covered everything from like polyamorous laws here in Somerville. Yeah. Was the most recent piece I did. Very random. I talked about the bomb threats earlier this semester.
Oh yeah, that was you.
Yeah, nice. Wrote that article on a plane. Weirdest thing I've ever done for the Daily, I would say. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very lucky. The Daily is really fun. Like, it's super. It's a really great way to learn a lot about what goes on in our Tufts community and outside. And I mean, you do so much for the Daily. I don't even know how you understand.
I write for the feature section. So together we like cover almost all the sections, which is crazy. What's like, do you have like a favorite particular story that you've written so far? One interview that was really interesting? Anything you can say on air about your experience with a certain story?
So, oh my God, that's so... Okay, I will definitely say I've gotten to write about 3 breaking news pieces this semester, and that is, like, really fun because it makes you feel very, like, All the President's Men, like, Watergate breaking news scandal, even though none of the stories I've written are anything as exciting as that.
Yeah.
I would say my favorite piece that I wrote was about the Friedman Nutrition School. I did that last semester, and I got to interview a ton of people across the country, which was, like, really exciting because I had been mostly just covering small local events. And we got to talk about like food deserts, which is something that's really important to me, is nutrition and understanding and fighting against both poverty and also just understanding how different regions work and the different foods they produce. So that was definitely like the coolest personal article I've ever done.
Cool. And to clarify, with news, it's a super quick turnaround, right? Like, I'm used to like sitting down with these like long articles and having like a week and a half to work with it, but it's like a couple days, right, for you?
So assignments we typically get about like on a Sunday, and they're usually due that next Tuesday, something like that. I've done some 2-day turnarounds, and those have been rough. Did one of those over the weekend for sports.
Okay.
It was like a Saturday assignment or Saturday game to a like Tuesday deadline.
Wow.
And those are tough. Those are really tough, especially for news, because like you have to have 3 sources. But low key, like people are very good about, they're either really good about responding or really bad.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell from the beginning. But I don't know how Features does it. I could not write that long of a story.
It's two different challenges for sure.
I do my 800 words and I'm out. I'm like solid.
It's definitely a whole other ball game. But I've written like for news. Like I wrote for like WGBH over the winter, and I know the vibe of like turning that thing around super quickly. And like they were like, go out, get like 3 different sources in like the same afternoon or something. It's brutal out there sometimes.
My friends joke, they're like, you're always on otter. What are you doing? Why are you doing an interview? I'm like, I have to, okay?
Only the real ones stay on otter. Great. That's awesome. Okay. Heads will roll. Yes. What's this one?
Oh my God. Okay. This is really embarrassing, but I first became obsessed with the song because of the Glee version that is a mashup with Thriller. This is I can feel the judgment, but
I'm sorry. No,
Sam, you're not a Glee, and I understand.
Well, no, I've listened to Glee. I've seen Glee before. Just maybe not like a stan.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, what's the song like?
It's really. Oh my God! I lost my train of thought. Heads a roll, so fun. Live upbeat. This is like a dance in your living room, like scream song. It's also really Halloween-y, and Halloween slays, and you should have Halloween all the time.
Love it.
That's the end of it.
Heads will roll. Yes. I am super excited for this.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Feeling alright.
what magic spells we'll be doing for us. And I'm giving all my love to this world, only to be told I can see, I can breathe, no, my will will be. And nothing's gonna change the way we live, 'cause we can always take but never give, and everything's changing for the worse. See,
that was Virtual Insanity, baby. And we are coming up to the end of the show today, everyone. And Katie, I just want to say thank you so much again for coming on. I'm so happy this worked out. I had a blast. I don't know if you did too.
Oh, very much so.
And thanks everyone out there for listening. Shout out Little Women cast members. Woo! And crew and directors and everyone listening. Go Frisbee, Megan. Shout out Megan as well with Frisbee team. I'll be back next week, everyone. Casey Feldman will be coming on the show. I'm super excited about that. And in the meantime, hope everybody's doing well. It's spring. I talked about in the winter every day, like hating life because it was cold and dark, but now it's sunny and nice and humid though, which is a little less nice. There's always something to gripe about. But anyway, hope everybody's doing well. Hope you have a great week. This has been The Spec, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and have a great rest of your night. Thanks again, Katie. Bye-bye.